Praise the Lord. Well, it's a great day to be at Faith Church in Lincoln, Illinois. It's always good to be here with you all. We're still getting used to the humidity, I will say that. And I grew up here. I grew up in Rochester. So, I don't know, 20, 21, 22 years of my life were in Central Illinois. And so I remember the humidity, but I left the humidity. I went to California where it's dry heat. This guy right here has just been in California his whole life, and we were down in Branson this past week, and we went to Lambert's, that place that throws the rolls, you know that? And we were standing outside waiting in line. Hundreds of people, a whole tour bus got off their bus right before we got there, and they went into the restaurant, and we said, oh boy, this is going to be a while. But standing there in the humidity, and Michael looked at me at one point and said, I really don't like this. I don't like this. I want to go back to the West Coast where it's dry heat. No, but it's great to be here with you all. This place is near and dear to my heart. I lived a lot of life right here in this region and contended, you know, just for God's purposes for Central Illinois, and I'm contending with you today. I'm contending. We want to see God have His way. We are people of His Presence Ministries. Thank you, Pastor Cammy, Pastor Darren, for opening your hearts to us. It's always a pleasure to do ministry with you. And like she said, the ministry started with the publication of this book. Now, some of you probably have one that's cream colored. That was the 1.0 version. This is the 2.0 version. It's not much different. There's a few updates, but it has a new cover on it. But there is a table out there. I would encourage you, church. I've been here a few times, so I know we've gotten the book in several people's hands. If you have not gotten this book, I would encourage you to pick this up. This is for you. This is for the average person in the church who wants to discover their role and their responsibility as a worshiper of Jesus Christ. So I think that's almost, if not everyone in this room. I am passionate about seeing people get a hold of the truth as it relates to praise and worship, because I believe that praise and worship is a key to what God wants to do in this hour. And so I want to equip you. I want to help you. We are in different churches every single week, and we are just contending for a greater measure of His presence among His people. You see on the screen there, presence-driven ministry. That's one of the three main things we do. Also, practical training. Like Pastor Cammy said, we love to work with pastors, worship leaders, worship teams. I've done some training with your team here. And we want to just put tools in their hands that help them do what they do more effectively. And I do want to mention one aspect of this. By the way, my wife, Jill, is in the back. My youngest daughter, Lydia, is next to her back there. My oldest daughter, Ashlyn, is somewhere. She's somewhere in here. She's almost 16. She's right there. No. Okay, just kidding. We don't know where she is. And then this is our intern. He's interning with us, Michael. And like I said, he's from California. He's with us this whole month doing ministry alongside of us. But also, the main thing that he is doing, we are excited to partner with an organization called Music 360 Method. This is a pipeline to develop singers and musicians for the local church. It was developed by someone in the North Texas district. And what we want to do is we want to come alongside of the local church, and we want to find people who are right out there in the seats who have potential to be developed, maybe playing an instrument, maybe singing, being able to carry something in a time of worship. Because I believe that no church should ever experience a shortage of singers and musicians. And oftentimes, if not most of the time, the miracle is right there in the house. We don't have to bring someone 1,000 miles you know, to Lincoln, Illinois, to plug in and to lead worship. We just need to tap into who God has already provided right here. The problem, though, the issue is that there's not been a pipeline to put them in to get them developed. They don't know where to start. How do I get started? How do I move to another level? This is what that pipeline is. It's training in vocals, drums, keyboard, bass, and guitar. And it's tremendous online curriculum. But Michael is our mentor. So Michael meets with you every other week on Zoom just for accountability, for encouragement, to help you move forward. He might say, hey, where are you stuck? Where do you need some help? How can I encourage you? How can I help you move to the next level in the curriculum, in the training? So ultimately, the goal is that we're going to see churches full of singers and musicians who can help facilitate effective worship times in the local church. So that's a little bit about Music 360. There's stuff at the table about that as well, if you're interested. The other thing we do is purposeful networking. We had a big Worship Connect in Northern California back in March. We had 45 churches there, almost 200 people in attendance, just worship people. Worship leaders, worship teams. We did breakout sessions, had awesome times in God's presence, and connected. We're connecting worship teams with other worship teams because I feel like we're better together. We're better together. And if we can help each other, you know, the church is right here in Central Illinois. By the way, I'll say that. Tonight, we're going to go deep in His presence down in Carlinville. So, yes, come. What better things are there to do? I don't know. I don't think there's anything better to do than just get in the presence of God. I'm going to be doing some teaching, but we're going to go deep in worship. First Assembly down in Carlinville, 6 p.m. tonight. I would love to see you there. But the idea is, you know, even the churches in this area, we can resource each other, right? We can encourage each other. We can come together, worship team to worship team. That's kind of the vision. So that's a little bit about the ministry. That's what we do. I'm trying to get through this because I have a message burning on my heart for you that I gotta preach. But we're U.S. missionaries. That's the one other thing. And as missionaries, we rely on support. It was about a year and a half ago that my wife and I took a big leap of faith. And I stepped away from my full-time worship pastoring, full-time university directing positions. And this is what we're doing. We launched this. We're in churches. We're helping worship ministries. But we rely on support to do that. And so if God is putting it on your heart, please pray for us. Number one, please pray for us. But if He's putting it on your heart to sow into this ministry, we would love to partner with you. I guarantee that you are sowing into good ground. I could take the next, I don't know, however many minutes and tell you all of the great and awesome things God is doing on a weekly basis. But I'll just sum it up to this. When you make space for Him and for His presence, He begins to do extraordinary things. He begins to move in the hearts and lives of people, and we're seeing that on a weekly basis. So I want to pray, and then I want to jump into this message that God has put on my heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your purpose, Lord, for already showing up and already beginning to work in our hearts and lives. I pray that as we move into this message, you would speak through me, God. God, speak to your people. Holy Spirit, you take control. You have your way in what takes place in these next few moments. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I will say this. I've never preached this message anywhere else. God gave me this message for you. And a lot of times when we travel, you know, we'll preach messages in different places, like similar messages. But this particular message, God began to lay on my heart just some truths that actually we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And believe it or not, there's not a lot said about praise and worship there, but I think that it has to do with the posture, the position we take as worshipers. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to read some statements, and these are actually from the book. They're from chapter 10 of the book. And you'll see them on the screen. And what I want to ask you to do, I'm going to read the statement, and then if you believe that statement, I want to hear someone say, amen. Okay, here we go. First statement. Praise and worship can and should be a powerful instrument in our hands to tremendously impact both the spiritual and physical dimensions within which we live and operate on a daily basis. Yes. Okay, here's the next one. Praise and worship is intended to redeem not only our relationship with the living God, but also our rulership as kings and priests. Yeah, some of you are like, I'm not so sure about that. Yes, I'm going to unpack this. Okay, the third statement. Praise and worship should introduce God's kingdom power to the church and extend that power through the church. Amen. Amen. So we hear things like this often. You know, there's scriptures like in 2 Peter, it says that we're part of a royal priesthood. We're part of a chosen generation to do what? To show forth praise, right? It's our calling. It's our mandate. And it has incredible impact on the world that we live in, right? But I think that while we know that right here, can I just be open and honest with you right now? I think we all struggle to let it move from here sometimes to here. Do we really, really, really let our faith rise up in moments and lay hold of that truth that I just read there? Here's what the issue often is, I think. I think the issue is often that we don't remember who we are and whose we are. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. See, we have a spiritual birthright. I did a lot of my early ministry in Pawnee, at Pawnee Assembly. I led worship there for 6 years before I moved to California. And early on in that ministry, there was a sister. We called her Sister Best. And she was the wife of a retired pastor. And her husband would always sit in the same place. It's funny you said that this morning, because we all get in our place, right? We're comfortable in our spot in the church. They would always sit right over here. And, you know, she really had a prophetic gift. She could hear from the Lord. And she would bring forth like a word oftentimes in services. And I remember distinctly, she would oftentimes say, my people, why are you living below your spiritual birthright? Why are you living below your spiritual birthright? I will never forget that. And it didn't just happen once. It happened over and over and over again. So I think God was trying to say something to his people. See, we have privilege as children of God. We have a spiritual birthright, but we often live far below it. And we often worship far below it. See, I look out in churches on a weekly basis and, you know, we experienced some powerful worship this morning. And I see God moving in the room, but I always see some people that are just, maybe they're not sure, or maybe they're discouraged, or maybe they just haven't gotten a hold of the truth that they are a child of God and that they are part of the chosen generation that's called to show forth praise. This is about positioning. It's about positioning. I want you to think about positioning, the importance of that. Think of a football player who's out of position during a play, right? They're not where they're supposed to be on the field, and it leaves a gap in the defense or the offense and a scoring opportunity for the opponent, right? This is how a lot of Christians live. We're saved, but we're living outside of God's best. And subsequently, we're opening a door for the enemy's influence. It could just be discouragement that the enemy tries to sow into our hearts and minds. Talking about positioning. How about this? How about someone who's adopted into royalty, they're given access to the palace and a seat at the king's table, but they choose to sleep outside the gate, unaware of what's theirs. That's tragic. That's tragic. But this, again, is how many Christians live. We're saved, but we don't truly understand our inheritance in Christ Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he reminds the church who they are and whose they are. He reminds them and he reminds us that we're not just forgiven, but we're also included. We're also empowered. We're also commissioned. But who's going to rise up this morning and take their identity and take their position? The title of this message is Take Your Position. I want you to look at the screen right now. See that runner at the starting line? I did track and field for years, all through junior high, high school. I still run a lot. And I know the significance of coming to that starting line and taking your position. You know what? If you don't start well, you're probably not going to win the race. Now, there's a few situations where someone started terribly and somehow they pulled it off, right? And they got in first place. But a lot of times, the start is the key. The position right there at the beginning is key. And see, if the church is not taking their position, if we're not taking our place in his house as his people, as his children, we're going to have issues. There's going to be situations that are problematic. I want to read something to you, but I want to give you four things that have to do with our position as children of God, as sons and daughters of the King. The first thing is that we believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing. I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. This is what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. I want to move down to verse 13. And you also, you and me, we also were included in Christ when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Man, there's a lot there. There is a lot there. So Paul opened that section with praise. And then what does he do? He lists a series of blessings that are available to every believer, not just certain people, all who put their hope in Jesus Christ. What does he say about all who put their hope in Jesus Christ? They were chosen before the foundation of the world. Saw that in verse 4. They were adopted as sons and daughters. Saw that in verse 5. They were redeemed through Jesus' blood. Saw that in verse 7. And they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We saw that in verse 13. Friend, these blessings are priceless, and they're yours. They're yours in Christ. They're more valuable than any earthly possession. They're more valuable than money. They're more valuable than a job. They're more valuable than any success you could measure in this life. These are priceless gifts to you and me. Here's what I want you to realize. You don't have to earn them. You just have to receive them. Think of a child who's adopted into a family. I don't know if anyone here is adopted. Maybe. Maybe for whatever reason, you weren't raised by your biological parents. You were adopted by someone else. But listen, when you were adopted, you didn't have to earn that name. You just received it. The name came as a result of your identity and your inheritance. So, child of God, you don't have to earn His blessings. You just need to receive freely what He's already given. Amen. Now, how does this relate to worship? Since I'm a worship evangelist, I want to bring it back to worship. And I want you to consider something. Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross. And a veil that had separated us from the intimate and immediate presence of God was torn in two. The separation was removed. So you and I don't have to worship a holy God from far off. We can freely enter in because we've been given access. See, we don't have to strive for access. We don't have to try to earn our way into His presence. We just need to do this right here. You just need to step in. We just need to enter in. See, that veil was destroyed that separated us from the immediate presence. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was that pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night that hovered over that back room where the glory and the power and the presence of God resided. And mankind could not enter that place because we could not stand in the presence of a holy God. But Jesus destroyed the barrier, and now He says, all you have to do is just step into what I've already given you. It's time to step in to what He's already given us. We need to take our position in a place of faith, boldly coming before His throne of grace. Boldly. Believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Here's a second thing. Believers are endued with God's power, which is already at work within them. Believers are endued with God's power, and it's already at work within them. Let me read a little bit more here. Ephesians. I'm going to go down to verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. I'm telling you, Ephesians is power-packed. It's power-packed. What do we see here? Well, Paul, in verses 18 and 19, prayed that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. Why? So that we could grasp the hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance, the incomparably great power available to you and me. And friend, this is not just any power. You know what? We're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July, and if you like fireworks, there's a lot of power wrapped up in that little firework, right? But it's nothing compared to this power. This power is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and exalted Him above every authority. It is active, it is living, and it is available to all who believe. Amen. Here's the problem, though. Let me say it this way. A light switch doesn't create electricity. It just connects to power that's already flowing through that wire, right? But you and I have to go over and flip that switch on for the lights to come on. Okay? Now, why am I saying that? Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, but you have to tap into it. And you have to activate what God has put on the inside of you. Friend, I want to remind you, you are a child of the King. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And the power that He used to raise Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in you. You just have to flip the switch on. How does it relate to worship? Well, we already talked about we have access, right? We have access to His presence. But here's the thing. We have to cultivate a greater sensitivity to His work among us. It's time, church, to cultivate a greater sensitivity to His work among us. How do we do it? We have to get past all of the distractions, all of the things of the world that just suck the life right out of us. We have to leave those things over here, and we need to step in to His presence and then ask Him to reveal Himself in greater measure. And you know what? He'll do it. God, I want to see You. God, I want to know You. God, I want to experience You. You know what? He wants that for you. If you ask Him, He will do it. He will show up, right? Now, God is omnipresent, meaning that He knows what's going on in your life. At the same time, He knows what's going on in my life. But listen, He chooses to manifest His presence and glory in greater measure at certain times, in certain places, on certain occasions. So I don't know about you, but I hunger for His visitation. I hunger for the move of God, because I know that it's in that place that all those other issues and problems just, they grow strangely dim. And somehow all I see is Him. Somehow all I see is Him high and exalted on a throne. There's an old song that says, "The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory." See, when you get into His presence, I'm not talking about His omnipresence. I'm talking about the place where He has manifest His power and His glory. You begin to see Him exalted and lifted up in that moment. All those other things don't matter as much. And all you see is an all-sufficient, almighty God who wants to fellowship with you, His child, His son, His daughter. Let's cultivate greater awareness. Here's something else. We don't have to chase after, listen, we don't have to chase after more power. We need to chase after Him. And as the eyes of our hearts are enlightened, like Paul said there, guess what? We become aware of Him. We become aware of who He is. We become aware of what He does. And then we can take our position with confidence in the throne room, knowing that He is faithful to draw near to those who would draw near to Him. You recognize that? God is faithful to draw near to those who would draw near to Him. Time to flip that switch on. It's time to flip that switch on. The power is flowing. You and I just need to tap into it. Believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Believers are endued with God's power that is already at work within them. The third thing, believers are raised and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, I want you to catch this. I'm going to go over to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. This is what it says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Let me skip down to verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a lot here. What is Paul doing? He's contrasting our past condition with our present position. That was our past condition, but friends, this is your present position. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, but now, because of his great love for you, he made you alive in Christ and raised you up and seated you with him in the heavenly realms. We were dead. It was hopeless. There was no solution. There was no way out but God. But we're alive now because God loved us, he raised us, and he seated us. Now you may say, what does it mean to be seated with Christ? That's kind of an interesting thing. Well, when you sit down at the family dinner table, right, you have a seat. It means you belong. You're not just a stranger. You're not just a guest, you're part of the family. You're a member of the household. So to be seated with Christ, listen, means we share in his authority. It means we have direct access to the Father. How does that relate to worship? A lot. It relates a lot. See, I said this earlier. It was one of the statements I read in the beginning. You, friend, are part of the royal priesthood, whether you realize it or not. You're part of the royal priesthood. When you accepted Jesus and made him Lord of your life, you were grafted in to the royal priesthood. And as that priest, okay, as that worshiper, say it like this, you stand between heaven's throne room and earth's need. You stand between heaven's throne and earth's need. So what happens? We come into a time of worship and we begin to lift up this song. And it's not just singing. You're not just singing a song. You're declaring truth. And as you begin to declare that truth and faith rises up in you, what are you doing? You are welcoming God's rule in our circumstances. You are saying, God, come and have your way. Be glorified. Let me give you a song example. I know breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. See, I can just kind of say, or I can let my faith be engaged and see myself seated with Christ, walking in a place of authority as I declare that truth. I know breakthrough's coming. By faith, I see the miracle. How about this? Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me's shaking. See, maybe it is shaking. Maybe the ground around you's faltering. Maybe you're going through a situation or a circumstance and you need him to intervene. Well, friend, begin to lift up your voice and begin to see yourself seated with Christ as you declare that truth. We have to stop living from a place of defeat and we need to take our position as one who's seated with Christ and live from that identity. Believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Believers are endued with power, which is already at work within them. Believers are raised and seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the last thing, believers are saved for a purpose. Friend, you are saved for a purpose. This is what it says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul is reminding us here that we're not just saved from something. You're not just saved from death and hell. You're saved for something. You're saved to fulfill the works that God has already prepared for you. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not works. You're not saved by works, but you're saved to do good works. The works that God has ordained for you to fulfill. And see, He is the Creator, and you are His handiwork. That's what it says there. You are His handiwork. What does that mean? That means if you can envision a big piece of rock, and someone is going to create a beautiful sculpture, but what do they have to do? They have to chisel away at that rock. And it takes time, right? And there's a lot of detail, intricate detail involved. But the sculptor chips away at the stone purposefully, and there's hidden beauty underneath. That's you and I. We are standing before the Lord, and we are saying, God, I've put my trust in you, and you've blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And you've endued me with power, and you've seated me with Christ. I'm making myself available. What do you want to do in me so that you can work through me? How does this relate to worship? Corinthians, Paul talks about how you and I are jars of clay. It's a similar image. We're jars of clay. And there's actually a passage in Jeremiah that talks about being on the potter's wheel. Remember this? And there's a big lump of clay, kind of like that big rock, right? Same idea. And the potter molds and makes that clay into a beautiful jar. Okay? So we are jars of clay. That is representative of our humanity. But here's the thing. We have to let what's on the inside of that container, that jar, be poured out for God's glory. There is a beautiful treasure in you, friend. It's the substance of Christ. It's the Spirit of God. And what we need to do is we need to come before Him and say, Lord, have your way in this jar of clay. I give you permission. In fact, I give you permission to break it. Break it open so that the beautiful substance of Christ can be poured out for your glory. The greatest waste is preserving our container. The greatest waste is holding on tightly to what's on the inside. No, God wants the container of your life and my life to be broken so the beautiful substance of Christ can flow out and can touch a lost and dying world. Are we more concerned with preserving our container, which equals not stepping out in obedience when the Spirit of God is prompting, which equals not releasing our worship to the Lord? Or have we made up our mind that we're going to allow the jar of our lives to be broken so the beautiful fragrance of His presence can be poured out as an offering, so God can accomplish His divine purpose in us, and ultimately He can accomplish His divine purpose through us. Friend, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Worship team can go ahead and come up. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You are endued with God's power. You are seated with Christ, and you are saved for a purpose. We have to stop living below our spiritual birthright. I can still hear Sister Best saying, "My people, why are you living far below your spiritual birthright?" Fred, I want to encourage you to take your position. Take your position as one who has not just been saved, but you have been set apart. You have been called and commissioned to carry His presence. And friend, when you carry His presence, suddenly all those things that seem so hard and so wrong grow strangely dim in the light of His sufficiency. You're called to carry His presence because there's a lost and dying world who is desperate to encounter the God that you and I have the privilege of encountering on a daily basis. I sense the Spirit of the Lord. Can we all stand to our feet all around this room? Let's be respectful of His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the inheritance that you've given us, God. We're not going to approach your presence as foreigners or strangers or those who aren't invited. God, we know we've been invited. And so we're going to take our place. We're going to take our place before your throne. We're going to take our position in the house of God. I'm not going to let someone else carry my worship, but I'm going to take my position in the house of God and begin to lift my voice and begin to let my faith rise up. Because God, you've given me such a beautiful inheritance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to remind you of a few things this morning, church. If you feel spiritually barren, if you feel spiritually barren, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. I just declare that over this house. You who are spiritually barren, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Second, if you feel powerless, maybe you're backed up against a wall. Maybe you don't know where to turn. Maybe the situation is overwhelming. If you feel powerless, friend, I want to remind you this morning that God has clothed you with His power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Sometimes it's just like putting on a garment. You just have to put it on. Clothe yourself. Remind yourself. Third thing, if you feel inadequate, maybe you feel inadequate today. Well, I don't think I can do a whole lot. What can I really do? How can I really make an impact? Friend, you are a child of the King, and God has given you Christ's authority. God has given you direct access to Him. Last thing, if you feel aimless, I have good news for you today. God has prepared good works for you. He wants to save you, but then He wants to work through you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I have to ask this question this morning. Do you know him? Do you know him? I'm not just talking about knowing about him. Listen, this is the Bible Belt. I grew up in the Bible Belt. Everyone in the Bible Belt knows a lot of things about the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. Are you a child of the King? Have you put your hope in the Lord? If you need to put your hope in him today, or maybe you just feel far off, that's okay. God loves honesty. He loves when people are just honest with him and say, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm struggling, God. I'm struggling to know you're there. I'm struggling to believe. I'm struggling to have any faith. That's the starting place. Just come with honesty. And I have good news. He's right here with his arms wide open. Right here. He's ready to receive you. If you don't know him, or you just, let's just say it this way. If you need to put your faith in Jesus, just raise your hand so that I can pray with you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yeah, thank you. That's the best thing you could do. That's the best thing I could do. Is just confess our need for Jesus. All these things I've talked about are accessible to you if you put your faith in Jesus. Let's do this. Let's all pray this together. Can all of you pray after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank you for going to a cross, for dying in my place, so that I could have access to every spiritual blessing, so I could have access to the power of God, so I could have access to the Spirit of God. Come now and have your way in me. Let me pray for you, Father. I pray for these who've prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time. I pray, God, right now that you would come like only you can come and do what you do. Do what you do, God, in the hearts and lives of your people. God, reassure us this morning that we are children of the King. We have been adopted into the family of God, and we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I'm going to do one other thing. I get this picture, and I got this picture this week as I was studying for this message of people in the church who, they made a profession of faith somewhere along the line, and we just make that profession of faith, and it's just like God has this plan totally mapped out for us. He has this path in front of us that he wants us to keep walking, but somebody made a profession of faith and then they just said, okay, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. No, friend. God has so much more for you. There's so much more for you than heaven. And heaven's great. But there's a lot to do right now in this world. There's a work that he's prepared for you. Will you step into it this morning? Will you step into what he wants you to do, knowing that he's equipped you with every spiritual blessing, knowing that he's endued you with his power, knowing that you are seated with Christ Jesus. You have everything you need to move forward and fulfill his purpose.